Good morning. Welcome.
Welcome.
Oh, I think, can you hear Marcus from there? Say something. Say hi. Okay, I think so. Okay, we've got a joke ready, so he's getting ready. Okay, first we say, glad you're here. Are you ready? We're glad you're here. And we saw the snowman on the slide this morning, so what are we going to say? We're
snow glad.
We're snow glad you're here. That's our joke. So welcome. There's a lot going on, and we love to be here because there's so much going on. Junior Youth is starting back up this week. Kids Club is starting back up this week. Marcus is like, yes. Coffee break during Kids Club is also starting up again, and Senior Youth. So everything starts back up again this week. And also, for any women who are interested, there is a women walking program Tuesday mornings at 10:30 here at the church. If you want to come and do some gentle walking in the auditorium. There's also St. Catharines United Mennonite 101 course. It's a 4-week intro course. And Pastor Tim said that we will find a schedule and a location that meets everyone's needs. So if you're interested in that, contact Pastor Tim. He's very flexible. Steve's like, they wrote that for us. That's for us. We're going to that. community care is in need, as you know, and there are barrels outside, and there's also a poster about items that are greatly in need right now, so have a look. And when you're grocery shopping this week, maybe add a few things. From Church Council, we would like to announce that Irene Hyder has accepted the permanent position as office administrator. We're very excited about that. And as you may have known, Irene has been filling in since Eileen's retirement. So we are pleased that she has agreed to take the position. Oh, don't turn that. I need this page specifically. Okay. So mark your calendars. Sunday, February 4th, there's a membership meeting. And we had this conversation downstairs about the winter weather. And the weather can look different all around the region. Even if you're living 5 minutes apart from someone, the snow on your driveway might be different than someone else. So if you're ever wondering if an activity or if church is canceled, we will try to post it on the website or Facebook or 610 CKTB. We will announce it on there. So or you can just call someone else and maybe they would know, but before going on the roads, if it looks bad, call or listen to the radio so you know if things are happening. Okay, Kurt has an announcement. We're gonna let Kurt come. Oh, I might have dropped Kurt's announcement. Can I put this here?
Good morning. So one thing just on behalf of the church council. So unfortunate news, we were informed this week that after many years of vice chair and then this past year as co-chair, Pete Vandenberg Dutch is going to be stepping down from church council. He let us know this week. There's good news in that is Pete is seeing a lot of success at his work, and we certainly wish him all the best in that, but it means that time and priorities are becoming at a premium for him to be able to, as he said, you know, devote everything he needs to into doing the church council to do it properly. And so we wanted to let everyone know that that change is coming. Gift Discernment Committee will be looking. And I also want to say a special thank you to Pete. He has been on church council for quite some time. He's worked through several search committees and helped the church council, helped the previous chair, Kevin, and the council there navigate through COVID and pastoral changes and all sorts of staffing changes. And so just a very warm thank you for Pete for all the work he has done over. I asked him how long, and he couldn't even remember how many years he's been on council, but he said since Pastor Nick has been around. So thank you very much. Dutch is hiding up top in the back, but just so that everyone is aware of that change coming.
We're not going to see anything right now, okay. Okay, our call to worship comes from Psalm 139, verse 1 to 6 and 13 to 18. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Please bow your head for prayer. Thank you, Lord, for those inspiring words from the book of Psalm this morning. Thank you for this opportunity for us to come together. Please prepare our hearts and minds for the service this morning. In your name we pray. Amen.
We invite you to stand as we sing our first song, House of the Lord.
We worship the God who was, we worship the God who is, we worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors, he parted the raging sea. My God, he holds the victory. There's joy in the house of the Lord, there's joy in the house of the Lord today, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We sing to the God who heals. We sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who always makes a way. As he hung up on that cross, and he rose up from that grave, my God, still rolling stones away. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. 'Cause we were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. 'Cause we were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise, there's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise, there's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise, there's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. In stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whispers of love in the dead of night as you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you, it's who I am. searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, a good Father. It's who you are.
It's who you are.
It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. Undeniable, I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think. As you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still into love. Love, love. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
We now invite the children to please come forward for a children's story.
Oh, good morning, everyone. So exciting. Hey, did you recognize that song, Joy in the House of the Lord, from Vacation Bible Camp? Did you remember it from then? Yeah? That was one we learned this summer. It was nice to be able to sing it again, wasn't it? Awesome. Okay, we're going to play a game. How is your memory? Are you good at remembering things? Yes? Okay, I am going to come and show all of you what is underneath this towel. You need to look, get a real good look, and we're going to see, after I cover it back up again, how many things you can remember. In my mind, this is a shower game, but these people told me they don't even know what I'm talking about. It must be an old people shower game. Anyways, all right, here it comes. Under the towel, I'm going to lift the towel, look. Look at all the things, and then I'm going to cover it up. Okay, here we go. All right, everybody had a good look? Okay, what do you remember? Marcus.
Battery.
A battery. Yes, got it. Mason. Think, you can think. It's okay. Callan?
Trident.
Oh, Trident gum. Yes. Mary.
Oh,
was that yours? Mason.
A button.
A button. That's right. A button. Yes. Anybody else? Oh, Veronica.
Lipstick?
Yes, there's a chapstick in there. Yes. Okay, Mason again.
A button thing.
calculator? Yes. Callan? I think, yes, a cow candy. Here, I'm going to give it to Matthew. He asked for it. There you go. All right. Anybody else? We got one? Veronica. Thinking? Good. Callan?
A thing that looks like cheese.
A thing that looks like cheese. No. Crackers. Okay, there you go. I accept it. It does. It's in a wrapper. I take it. I accept it. Yes, Clara. An eraser. Yes, that looks like a baseball. Good job. Anybody? Marcus?
A pen.
A pen. Good for you. Ooh, you guys are really good at this. Anything else? No? Okay, I'm going to show you. We remembered a lot. There was a key. There was dental floss.
I was trying to see if anyone else could.
A spoon. A weird paper one, but a spoon. And a little paper clip, right? Now, you did really well. You remembered a lot of things. And some of these little ones, especially like something tiny like this paper clip, that's easy to forget, right? And you know, that's kind of like how our brains work, right? Like all day long, we have so many things to remember. Don't forget your lunch in the morning, and don't forget your mittens and your hat, and don't forget that after first class of doing whatever, we're going to go to the next class, and I have to bring homework or a book to read or my library book or my permission form. Life is like that. There's lots of things to remember. And have you ever forgotten one of those things? Yeah. Forgot a mitten at school or forgot to bring your...
You lost
your whole bag?
Yeah, I didn't lose it.
You forgot.
I accidentally left it at daycare.
Yes, it's easy to forget, right? It's easy to forget, especially when we're so busy and there are so many things and life is moving really quickly, kind of like how quickly I passed the game, right? But you know what? We actually forgot one other thing in today's game, too. There was one other thing under the towel. The tray. Nobody said that, did they? We don't even think about that. We don't think, oh, there is a tray there. But the tray is kind of the most important thing. It was holding all the stuff together, wasn't it? And it was big and obvious. It was right there in front of us. And that's kind of like one really big, big, giant thing. The thing that holds us all together every day, all the little stuff we have to do. There is one big thing, and that is God and our relationship with God and our love for God and taking time to pray. All those things keep it all together. So even if we forget our bag at daycare, because that happens, or the permission form, as long as we make time to pray, all the little stuff will be held together. It's not to say we're going to remember everything, but it really does keep our lives all held in tight. So we do need to make time for that and try to make that the most important thing that we do every day is to spend time praying to God. So let's do that now. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, thank you so much for loving us and help us to remember to take time to talk to you. Amen.
Hill and mountain, Join the choir, you get to see the better side of me on Sunday mornings. You also maybe have a better chance. Everyone's so far away, I could have anything written on my mug and none of you would know. Like Marcus, I am also so glad you are here. I am glad that we moved so far north that it no longer snows and it's warmer than all the places we lived further south. So thank you for whoever is putting in that order. We now have our time for prayer requests. We have a microphone that will go around. And I have a couple of announcements just to let you know. This Friday, we will be having a celebration of life service for Corny Fast. I don't think we got that early enough to get into the bulletin, but that'll be at Friday at 4 p.m., and that'll be followed by a meal here. And on the 28th, so in 2 weeks, we'll be having a short meeting after the worship service for those who are interested, and we'll be talking a little bit about the vision process, some of the stuff that we've been discussing, so that it can be more of a dialogue with you. So I'll be there for that, but that'll be after the 28th. Does anyone else have anything they'd like to share or any prayer requests? All right, well, let's pray together. As always, after I lead us with prayer, I'll also invite you to pray the Lord's Prayer with me. We'll have that on the screen, and you are welcome to pray that in whatever language or version speaks most to your heart. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are near. We thank you that you are good. We thank you that you are a God who brings joy. Lord, of all things, we pray that we would be able to be people of your joy, of your hope, of your peace, of that new life and renewal. Lord, may your Holy Spirit move in each of us today in such a way that we leave this place feeling that fire again, so that we can go and be your hands and feet to be the answers to prayer for our neighbors, for our communities. Lord, we pray that you would bring your peace all through this world. We know that there are many that are experiencing warfare, violence, bombings, shootings, endless pushing forward for more and more and more out of greed. Lord, have mercy. We pray, Lord, that the soldiers on the battlefield would not be able to see the other just as enemy, but as another person, as someone who has eyes, eyes like theirs, as someone who is made in the image of God. Lord, we pray that you would work peace on the hearts of our leaders, that we would be able to see the tools of violence beaten into tools of hope and renewal, that we would fund those tools of hope and renewal with money instead of the warfare. Lord, we think of all those who are sick, those who are lonely, those who are grieving, those who are feeling hopeless or battling addiction. Lord, have mercy. We pray that you would continue to help us to choose each day to get out of bed and to follow your way of love. As we bring our tithes and offerings to you, we recognize that everything we have is yours. Use what we have to give as a community to bless our neighborhood and bring about your kingdom here. And friends, I invite you to pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you. I will be reading from Nehemiah 13, chapters 4 to 31. Before this, Eliashib, the priest, had been put in charge of the storerooms of the house of our God. He was closely associated with Tobiah, and he had provided him with a large room formerly used to store the grain offerings and incense and temple articles, and also the tithes of grain, new wine, and olive oil prescribed for the Levites, musicians, and gatekeepers, as well as the contributions for the priests. But while all this was going on, I was not in Jerusalem. When I returned to Jerusalem, I learned about the evil thing Eliashib had done in providing Tobiah a room in the courts of the house of God. I was greatly displeased and threw all Tobiah's household goods out of the room. I gave orders to purify the rooms, and then I put back into them the equipment of the house of God with the grain offerings and the incense. I also learned that the portions assigned to the Levites had not been given to them, and that all the Levites and musicians responsible for the service had gone back to their own fields. So I rebuked the officials and asked them, "Why is the house of God neglected?" Then I called them together and stationed them at their posts. All Judah brought the tithes of grain, new wine, and olive oil into the storerooms. Remember me for this, my God, and do not blot out what I have so faithfully done for the house of my God and its services. In those days I saw people in Judah treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in grain and loading it on donkeys together with wine, grapes, figs, and all other kinds of loads. And they were bringing all this into Jerusalem on the Sabbath. Therefore I warned them against selling food on that day. I rebuked the nobles of Judah and said to them, "What is this wicked thing you are doing, desecrating the Sabbath day? Didn't your ancestors do the same thing so that our God brought all this calamity on us and on this city? Now you are stirring up more wrath against Israel by desecrating the Sabbath." Moreover, in those days, I saw men of Judah who had married women from Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab. Half of their children did not know how to speak the language of Judah. I rebuked them and said, "Was it not because of marriages like these that Solomon, king of Israel, sinned? Among the many nations, there was no king like him. He was loved by his God, and God made him king over all Israel, but even he was led into sin by foreign women. Must we hear now that you too are doing all this terrible wickedness and are being unfaithful to our God by marrying foreign women?" So I purified the priests and the Levites of everything foreign and assigned them duties, each to his own task. I also made provision for contributions of wood at designated times and for the first fruits. Remember me with favor, my God.
I know this slide that I put up is always hard to see, but I already made them all before I knew it would be hard to see. So you just have to know that it says, "Remembering God, Nehemiah." This morning, we are visiting Nehemiah one last time. We have gone through most of the book, and we've seen kind of what happened. So one last background look at what's gone on so that we all remember. And then now you will all be experts on the book of Nehemiah. So, last time, you can play along at home, too. So God's chosen people have been delivered out of slavery to be a light to the nations. This is the mission of the people of God. But they are unfaithful. They do not live up to their end of the bargain. And eventually this leads them into a place where God allows Babylon, this giant empire, to come in and take the people into exile away from their homeland. And all through this time, they have this hope, even in exile, even on the shores of Babylon, this hope to return home, to finally be the light to the nations that they were called to be. But then, a new empire entered into town, as often happens, and we see things look a little bit different under the Syrian Empire. This is where we get the books Ezra and Nehemiah. They were one book in the Old Testament. And we see that the Syrian emperor, that now they're able to go in and have the people of God move a bit more back towards what they were hoping, going back towards Jerusalem, trying to rebuild. This is all happening at 445 before Common Era, so way back. And then there's Nehemiah. Nehemiah is someone who has done well for himself. He is in the service of the king. He is a cupbearer. That means he's very high up in the ranking of things. And Nehemiah has this dream that his people would be able to return to Jerusalem and rebuild. So he prays, he has this plan, and then he acts boldly, asking the king to allow this to happen. This is all centered around rebuilding the wall. Now, they have gone back and they've rebuilt the temple. They've tried a whole bunch of things with other people before. But now the feeling is as we rebuild this wall, we will be able to have this barrier between those on the outside and ourselves. If you don't have a wall around a city in this time, you're just out there in the open. So once we do this, we could be a city again. We could be a people again. But Nehemiah was aware that it wasn't just about a wall. As they're rebuilding the wall, he's rebuilding a people to be the people of God as they go through these actions together. This communal commitment to building, to working together, it starts to shape them. We see this time of communal worship, spending time again in Scripture for the first time, praising God as a community. Then this time of communal confession. God, we've sinned against you. We know. We want to be different. And they make something called a covenant, a communal covenant. That means they're signing these agreements. They're making this almost legal form saying, yes, we are not only going to repent, we are signing things over that we are going to continue to do these good things, this contract with God. We're going to set this covenant. We will be different from now on. And even a time, again, of communal repentance. You're right, we weren't doing things all right. We weren't treating each other well. We're going to go and work out all of that. And very much, if you read Nehemiah to this point, we see a story of faithfulness. Faithful leadership from Nehemiah, being faithful to the way of God, and faithful response from the people in the community. And if you were making a movie out of this, or if it were me writing a book, that's where I'd end it. Happy ending, everyone lives happily ever after, rebuilt walls, rebuilt people, Nehemiah goes back to the king, everything's fine. But curiously, Nehemiah continues the story. He doesn't want to just leave it there. He wants to show that, well, what happens next, even if what happens next isn't as encouraging as those first few chapters. Because all those changes do not last. All of those revisions, we built the wall, we rebuilt the people, we've committed ourselves, but it all falls apart. Again, why? Why does this happen? How does this happen? How does this keep happening? Well, Nehemiah will say what he thinks the starting point is in Nehemiah chapter 13. He says, well, all these things were going on. All of this bad stuff went on because I was not in Jerusalem. While I was there, I was able to oversee everything. I was able to keep everyone in line. But when I went back in service of the king, which was always his intention, then things change. All of that exciting renewal, that excitement we had together, this spiritual vibrance again, gets less exciting as reality sets in. It's one thing to go and to have a weekend high at a retreat. It's another thing to live that out in the everyday of our lives. And the people start getting bogged down by the reality. And we see the leadership there also kind of start to bog itself back down into the reality. We have Eliashib, the priest, who had been good, maybe now more as a wolf in sheep's clothes, in that he's no longer leading the people well. He's just making the normal arrangements with other leaders in the area, trying to make things work. And we see a character that's been all through Nehemiah, Tobiah, come back into play. Tobiah being this person who doesn't really care for all of the renewal that's gone on in Jerusalem. That's fine that you've come here to do this, but we're the people who live here the whole time, Nehemiah. Like, we have to go and live life normally, not just with what you want to do. And so we see the people of God, start to shift. There was this time where they would all gather. That's what was bringing renewal. But instead of gathering, we see the temple gathering dust. In fact, the temple, the place of worship, is being used as Tobiah's shed. He's storing his stuff there. There's not even room for the worship and the things going on.
Instead of Scripture binding them and guiding them in life, we see that Scripture is ignored. And this is especially shown in what they do with the Sabbath day. That's their holy day. Instead of this day of rest, of centering on God, of having it so that your workers don't have to work, very quickly, they become just like everyone else. We don't have time for that. We have to sell. We have work to do. That's not practical. The worship that they once had, all this community, this exciting time, has now been defunded. It was supposed to be funded by people. Yes, we signed agreements. We're going to go and make sure all of the priests and everyone, the singers, everyone, that they can keep doing that. But now, as people stop giving, the people working at the temple have all gone back to their fields to take care of their families. This fellowship, this working together, this idea that we are a group that gathers and goes in the same direction has been broken to just each man for themselves, each family for themselves. They've separated and tried just working it all out on their own. And we see this in how they respond with their children. What's happening with the children? Well, the children are growing up, and they're not being taught at all about the way of God, to the point that they don't even speak the language that the Bible would be read into them. Where is God in all of this? God is forgotten. All of this excitement, God, you did this great thing, this was all fantastic, but as the years go on, everything just goes back to the way it was. But at least now with a city, with walls, everything's fine now. When Nehemiah comes back to visit, so surely he's heard that things are wrong. He's been gone a long time. He comes back. How does he respond? Well, Nehemiah is furious. And I would say, in a lot of ways, Nehemiah is someone we can look to as an encouraging leader, and we can learn from him. But if you read chapter 13, it's a list of what not to do. Nehemiah just loses himself in anger. He goes around. He actually ends up physically assaulting people. And then he tries to think, how could this happen? Well, it's because I wasn't here. And it must be those other people. The Jewish people. If we had just stayed together, if we had just stayed as our own little church group together, we would have been fine. But once those outsiders came in, that must have been what did it. A group defined by being a light to the nations continues again, as they have already done, to blame others, to blame outsiders for what happens to their children, to the people. That they were marrying people from around the land? Well, it must be the people that they married. It can't be the men not teaching the kids. It must be the wives, right? This blame game and explodes into violence. And he keeps saying, God, remember me, even as he's beating up these people. He's forcing people to go and to adhere to the rules that they had agreed to. But this reform is again short-lived. While he's there, he's able to get things in line kind of quickly, but it's all going to fall apart again. As it always does. The sins of the community, the practices of the community, are the exact same as they were before they went into exile. Nothing has changed. And that's where the book ends. Not in this place of hopefulness, not in this place of, look at this great thing we could do together, but God, remember me. I tried my best. It didn't work. We ended right back at the same dead end we always end up at. Because though he had reformed the people in some practices and some ways, their hearts hadn't changed. Their hearts remained the same, and they went back to being the same people they were when he wasn't there. See, the trouble that's pointed out to us in the book of Nehemiah is that we forget God. We forget that, as Marianne said, he showed us all of these things that are on this tray. We forget that there's a tray underneath as well. We forget that God is there alongside us, that our God is good and with us. And why do we forget God? Why does it become so easy for God to entirely slip from our minds? Well, the truth is, we are just so busy. And often busy with very good things and very good reasons. But we're just too busy to have time to remember. We run out of time. Maybe there's that moment at the end of the day where we remember quickly, I better say that quick prayer. But God often comes right at the end of our list of things to do. What's a curious practice for pastors is we are professional prayers. We're supposed to pray professionally. And if you get stuck in all of the different things that are going on in visiting or other bits, you can suddenly find yourself go through weeks, even as pastors, like, did I really set aside time to pray? Because it always feels like we could do that later. Instead of starting our time, spending time with God, being formed by being in the presence of God. And what we see happening in Nehemiah, I think we see happening in our churches. When things go wrong, we blame the other people. Well, if only they kept coming to church, that's their fault. What's wrong with them? I'm here. Well, if only they kept on doing this, if only, it must be other people's problem, not mine. Instead of Nehemiah looking to himself, say, what did I do wrong? God, what could I do differently? He's like, can't be my fault. God, remember me. I did all the right stuff. Couldn't have been the person in charge that led us there. And it's just so easy to blame others instead of looking to ourselves and looking to what we have done as a part of things. The choices we've made, the people we've been. There's this tendency in our faith and in religion in general to go to something a bit more legalistic, very rigid rules that set up the way we approach faith. And sometimes having schedules and some rules can be helpful. But as we get more legalistic in our faith, like we saw in Nehemiah, all those people signing those legal forms, all of those people promising and saying, yes, we'll do those things, we've made this contract, didn't lead to faith. It didn't lead the people to have changed hearts. In fact, if anything, it probably pushed them away from the joy they were discovering in their God. And we see that heart, that at one point seemed like all the people were, their hearts were bursting with love, with joy, with this excitement, weeping, that to be alive in this day where this happened. But that doesn't last. That love dissipates as the rules pile up, as the time goes on, as reality sets in. The hope for us is that we do not live in the time of Nehemiah. That while Nehemiah thought anything could have just been possible, if only I had stayed, I could have kept everything together. But of course, that's not possible. It's not possible for Nehemiah to be there the whole time. It's not possible for church leaders to be around you all the time, or you even to be around your children all the time to make sure they do the right things. But it is possible for God to be present. This is the story we see that we've just celebrated at Christmas. That God recognizes that at a distance, we just can't follow his ways. So God comes down as a person to show us the way, to show us what God is really like. If you want to know what God is like, look to Jesus. That is exactly what God is like. We see this legalistic religion, that continues to fail through its rules and doing things a certain way, is the exact religion that pushes back against Jesus. Which is why Jesus came to show us a new way. That we are called to be a community of love. Love not just for each other, but for our neighbors and even for our enemies and those people that are hard to love. We are invited to slow down. We are so busy. There are so many good things to do. Slow down and sense that the Spirit is right there alongside you, Wherever you go, Jesus is there alongside you. And as we slow down, we're invited to spend the time. To spend our time in prayer. You don't need a fancy time set aside to do that. You can do that while driving. To spend the time recognizing what God is doing all around us. To spend our time reading and being shaped by Scripture. To spend the time as we gather together and worship and do the good things of God together, those good things prepared in advance for us to do, which shape us. Because we don't actually spend time. We spend ourselves. Time is a way of describing you, all of you that there is to give. As we spend time, we are spending ourselves. Will we spend ourselves well? Will we spend ourselves in the way that Jesus would have us spend ourselves? If we remember nothing from Nehemiah except one thing, please remember this. The importance to remember God. Remember God on Monday, through the week, at your workplace, at school, while you drive, even while that person cuts you off. Remember that God is good, that God loves you and God is with you. Remember that you are someone that God loves dearly, right where you are, just as you are. Remember that you are someone that God loves so much that that love can now flow out into each relationship you have. Because when we forget God, we end up just like the story of Nehemiah, right back at the beginning. And we don't have to remember God on our own. We have a community. That's why we are a community. That's why Jesus calls us to follow him as a church, as a gathered community. Because together, we're able to help each other. Together, we're better able to remember and embody the love of God. So what does this mean for us as we go home? It's a reminder to take care of your time. To take care of how you spend your time. Because how you spend your time is how you spend yourself. How we spend ourselves will shape us. Will change us and the people we spend that time with. We are reminded to remember. Take those moments to slow down through the week and remember that God is with you right there. And we are reminded that whenever we look to make changes, whenever we look to wonder, well, as an example, why isn't that person here this week? Well, instead of blaming other people for what is going on, instead of always looking for it must be someone else's fault, as Nehemiah does, we're reminded that we can take responsibility. Really, the only thing we can change is ourselves. Prayerfully asking how we can be different. Prayerfully asking how we can go and be a part of loving those people maybe back into the fold, back into being a part of things. That in the end, what we do will be our responsibility. Will we follow Jesus or not? Will the Holy Spirit lead us in such a way that we struggle and we find our ways on that path that's narrow and difficult sometimes, but is good? That path that leads us to joy, hope, renewal. Or will we forget and run out of time and ourselves to spend? Friends, may you remember God this week, this year, and throughout your life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are good. We thank you, Lord, that you are in this place, that you are in these people, that you are in and about your creation. Help us, Lord, to be able to remember you, to be able to remember and experience your love. As we go from this place, may that love spill out into our neighborhood. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We invite you to stand as we sing our closing song, 10,000 Reasons.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. You're rich in love and You're slow to anger. Your name is great and Your heart is kind. For all Your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. Draws near and my time has come. Still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name.
Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. I'll worship Your holy name. Lord, I'll worship Your holy name.
Receive the blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord fill your soul with His joy. May you be so loved that you love in Jesus' name. Go in God's peace. Amen.